that cool?
I love our church. I love you guys. I love hanging out with you. And the picnic every year is always a delight. Dale, thank you for the Brevik family cooking that awesome tri-tip. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Anybody get a piece of pecan pie? Got a little love? Come on. Hey, every once in a while in your life, you run into somebody that you go, there's something more here than just an acquaintance. There's something more here than just a, hi, nice to meet you. Last fall, I had the opportunity to go to Florida to speak at Jeremy Upton. Anybody remember Jeremy? First African-American to speak here at Church on the Ridge. Spoke at our picnic, yeah. I think the only African-American to speak at our church. We're kind of a... Ozzy, God bless you. God bless you, brother. And I sat next to a guy I'd never met before, and there was one of those divine connections, one of those God moments where I went, and the Spirit of God started speaking to me, and this is a guy that you're supposed to connect with. And so I'm trying to chat it up with him, and honestly, there was this one of these wonderful kind of opportunities where I said, Lord, I'm not sure what's supposed to happen, but here's a relationship that you're forming. And I enjoy those things because they're just, when they're kind of heaven-ordained, you never know what's going to come out of them, but it's always going to be good. And this morning, would you mind standing and welcoming my dear friend, Dr. Rodney Frazier, as he comes to speak with us.
Wow, what an introduction. So that means I'm number two, huh? Well, I'm glad to be number two. And I'm so glad to see each of you this morning. And I want to get the introductions and stuff out of the way so that we could just have a little talk. This morning, I was telling Charlie earlier, I said, wow, man, you got all this food and stuff in the back. We could never do this at our church. Right now, while I'm doing this part, somebody would yell out at our church, hey, Martha, bring me another donut, would you please? That's pretty good this morning. So we're getting there. So you guys pray for us, okay? We're getting there. But anyway, he's right about a connection. And I tell you, Jeremy and I have been friends ever since seminary. And we trudged through Dallas Seminary together. And your pastor went to that other seminary in Fort Worth. So, but that's okay. That's okay. He's a real good preacher, isn't he? Why don't you help me appreciate him this morning? And I tell you what, let me tell you this quick secret, and then I want to pray and let's jump into the text. He is what he is because of a little woman that I fell in love with this weekend by the name of Sandy. Would you help me appreciate her? Oh, she's blushing, and the whole family as well. And, of course, Stephen knows how I feel about him. I told him last night at the dinner table, there's no lying in you. I like that. But the love of my life is here with me on today. And I tell you what, her and Sandy, I'm sorry, they're the two most prettiest women in this building. Okay, Felicia, would you just wave at everybody real quickly, okay? All right, so we got that out of the way. So let's have a talk for just a moment, okay? And let me tell you up front. Let me tell you, my style's a little different. I joke, you know. I teach, I joke, or whatever. So don't take me too serious, okay? Really, really, don't. If you can deal with Charlie, you're gonna love this morning. That's how come he and I connected so well. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for laughter, especially when those times come in our lives where it's hard to laugh. And we face challenges. We face storms. We face things that surprise us. Open your word. Open our hearts. Open our minds. Open our ears to hear principles from you that will help us live this thing called life. And as a result of this word, help us to see you more clearly, walk with you more nearly, and more than that, love you more dearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a story that's found in Matthew 7, and one that intrigues me. And it talks about storms, talks about lying, talks about living life. And when I hear this term life, and I look at the 57 years that I've been living, I look at all of the ups and downs that I've been through in life. And I'm sure each one of you have your own testimony about this thing called life. You know, one of the favorite things that I love to do as a pastime is I am a movie buff. You name a movie, I've probably seen it. I'm good at quoting lines from movies. One of my favorite movies is with Tom Hanks, and it's called Forrest Gump. Many of you see Forrest Gump. Did everybody see Forrest Gump? Good. And he said this about life. I'll never forget it. He said, "Mama said," anybody that quotes their mom is already a good boy. Okay. He said, "Mama said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get." I agree with that. It's like, it's kind of like weather. One day, sun is shining, and you think, wow, I'm having a great time. This thing is beautiful. Everything's going my way. Family's intact. Health is doing pretty good. Kids are not getting in trouble in school. Grandkids don't need a loan. And life is good. Life is good. It's sunshine, okay? And then all of a sudden, some things will come in that'll make it a little cloudy, a little bit challenging. So it's not so much sunshine on this particular day. And then there are those times where it'll move from not sunshine, not being cloudy, to that of just a stormy day where you just feel like, what else can happen? What else is going to go wrong? Hit me with some more bad news. You know, this is just a stormy day. And yet, there's a reason why God allows storms to come into our lives. By the way, one principle you should learn about this wonderful God that we serve, that everything that happens to you, my friend, is either God sent or God allowed. So when it happens, you've got to ask yourself, God, and you've got to ask God, God, what are you doing in all of this? What are you saying in all of this? One day Jesus was teaching, and he was with his disciples, and he was teaching to a crowd. You know, I love reading about Jesus' teachings because he was always shocking people and always shocking the crowd. Have you noticed that most of the time when he would get through teaching something real deep, the crowd would just be in awe? And a lot of the passages always ends with, and the people were amazed at the authority in which he could teach. He wasn't timid about it at all. He knew what he was talking about. We find something like that in this seventh chapter of Matthew, and Matthew's just writing it all down, okay? And what I want to do, first of all, before I talk about the end of it, verse 24 through 27, I want to give you just a little bit of background, what we like to call the context. Because they taught us in school that if you just preach something and you don't give the context, then you con the people out of the text. So some of you will get that on the way home. It's okay to smile. It really is. It's okay to smile, okay? So the context is this. He's teaching to this crowd just like this, and his disciples are present. And he's basically talking about faith, obedience, and judgment. Those three things, that's it. You don't have to parse any verbs. You don't have to know Greek. You don't have to know Hebrew. You don't have to know Aramaic. All you need to know about this message, faith, which is faith to believe when you hear the word of God, obedience to obey the word of God when you hear it, rather than debate and go back and forth. Those times where you say, wow, Pastor Charlie was really good. Pastor Steve, he was really good. I just don't know if I can do that right now. You know? So it's faith, obedience, and then there's going to come a period in time in life where later on there's judgment based on decisions that we make now. So he takes this whole chapter, verses 1 through 5, he talks about the judgment of ourselves. He says that we need to learn how to evaluate ourselves on a daily basis. How am I doing with this thing called Christianity? Let me grade myself, okay? How am I really doing with this thing? And he gives you the resources on how you can judge yourself on how you're doing. Then verses 6 through 20, he talks about the judgment of others, the judgment of others. That God will give you the resources one day, my friends, to sit back and you're going to be able to fairly and spiritually be able to evaluate others, how they're doing in this Christian walk. Okay? He says you'll be able to do that. But then verse 21 through 29, he talks about God's judgment of us. God's judgment of us. He says, and the way that God's going to do it is, he says, first of all, in verses 15 through 20, he tells a story of two trees, that one tree is a good tree because it bears good fruit. Another tree is not so good. It's a bad tree because it didn't bear good fruit. The things that you're doing, the things that I heard about, the Cambodia mission trip, the evangelism in the park, all of these are great, great things. They are great things. You're bearing good fruits. My goodness, I got all kind of ideas when I can go back to Texas. Amen. I just need a budget now to be able to do it, okay? You know, but let this guy out. I do want to stick this in. Not that he told me this. I just feel it in my spirit to stick this in. Let this guy dream. Just let him dream, you know? And when it sounds crazy, Just say, well, Pastor Charlie, I tell you what, if God gave you the vision, he's going to give us the provision to do it. Amen? Because he wants to reach people, and that's one reason why we connected. So God says, listen. He says, your life is like a tree, and you're either going to bear good fruit or you're going to bear not so good fruit. And then when he gets toward the end, he switches from talking about trees to talking about houses, two houses. And he connects it by saying this. He says, and. Now, for all of you English majors, and is a real important word. Okay? I grew up an only kid. Okay? My mom raised me. And my dad wasn't around. He wasn't anywhere to be around. Okay? He was a delinquent daddy, and he was an absent father. And so my mom did the best she could. And she went to nursing school. She got a vocational nursing license. She worked as a nurse by day, and she did domestic work, cleaning houses at night. My grandparents kept me, and they helped to raise me. So I have a lot of respect for mothers, a lot of love for single mothers especially. And I watched her work, and I watched her work because she wanted to make sure that I got grounded, in Christianity, and that I had a faith in God. And that's why Jesus comes back and he says, listen, and whoever hears these words that I'm sharing with you, says, if you hear him, you'll be like a wise man that builds his house on a rock. He says, the winds came and the storms blew, and that house was able to withstand. There's a text for you on the screen. And he said, and the winds came and they blew and they beat upon that house, but it didn't fall because it was founded on a rock. He says, but if you hear these words every week and you don't do them, your life now becomes like a house that's built on sand. He says, and check this out. He says, the same storm beat upon that house, and the winds came, and the rains, and the storm. It beat upon that house, and guess what? It fell. And not only did it fall, but great was the fall of it. There's a lesson to learn there that Jesus is trying to tell the people. Certainly, I've been through a storm. You saw that I had to take a long way around to get up here. I didn't just come right up the steps because God allowed me to go through a storm. But it taught me a whole lot about myself. It taught me a whole lot about God. I want to just give you three applications, three lessons that I learned from a storm. And I hope that it'll help you whenever you face a storm, because let me tell you something, my friends. The first principle that I see in this text when I read about these two houses, storms are inevitable. Storms are inevitable. Both houses looked good. Both houses seemed sturdy. Both houses on the exterior looked like it could withstand the weather. But before you even look at the durability of the house, you've got to realize one thing. Both of them went through a storm. You're going to go through a storm, my friend. You're in one of three places this morning. I'm looking at your faces, even with all the wonderful theatrical lights. Okay? By the way, this is my best side, so get that for the DVD. All right. You're in one of three places in life. You are either, my friend, in a storm, or you are coming out of a storm, or you're headed for a storm. But eventually, you're going to hit a storm. I'll give it to you again. You're either in a storm. There's somebody that's here today. And you've got something going on, whether it's a relationship storm, whether it's a financial storm, whether it's some sort of lifestyle storm. It could be your personal storm, but you're here because you're looking for a good word to help you through the storm. You're either in a storm or you're coming out of a storm where you say, Pastor Rodney, Pastor Charlie, if you only knew what I've been through. I'm smiling. I greeted you this morning, but if you only knew my life story, you have no idea. You need to understand this. There's purpose in your pain. Go through it. Let me tell you what happened to me. I went to undergrad school, and I had a great passion for music, which is why me and this young lady really connected last night talking about music. I talked about playing the French horn and classical piano, and she's a great keyboards. Then I found out she plays oboe and she's in orchestra, and we're just really connecting. And Steve is looking at me at the table like, Dad, who is this guy that you brought to dinner that's connecting with my wife and looking over me? So after Steve kind of interrupted a couple of times and then shifted the conversation back to him, I really fell in love with this guy. But initially, it was she and I connecting about being musicians. So I went to school. Here was my life plan. I went to school to be a music teacher because, again, nobody in my family ever got a formal education past high school. My granddad was a general contractor. This building that you're getting ready to build, he never had a college degree, but boy, he could come in here with a team and build this thing for you. He built most of downtown Dallas and was the lead contractor. My grandmother was classically trained but never went to school to get a formal degree for it, but she knew how to read music, and she was a classically trained pianist. So she taught, she was self-employed. She taught piano lessons in the community. And again, my mom, she went to nursing school, and that was it. And they were like, we really want you to go to college. We really do. We didn't have the opportunity. We won't afford you that opportunity. So I go to college. My gift is in music. All I wanted to do was be a music teacher in an elementary school and teach kids how to play a band instrument. That's all I wanted to do. But how many of you know God has a sense of humor? So I started working as an elementary band teacher, and I started kind of affecting lives, and I saw what some of the challenges that my kids were going through because I was teaching in the urban part of the community, and many of them could not afford instruments and had other things that they could not afford. So I started feeling a passion for them, and then God laid on my heart, I want you to do more than just affect people with band instruments and music. I want you to possibly lead a school. Why not go back? Why not go back and pick up a master's? So I went back. I was crazy. I picked up a double master's. I picked up a master's in music, and then I picked up a master's in educational leadership. And I got promoted. I became an assistant principal, and from there, they promoted me again, and I thought, life is good. Sunshiny days. And then all of a sudden, I noticed that every time the kids would come to me that were in trouble, that were having problems in class, whether it was a learning disability or whether they were having problems with discipline, and the teachers would bring them to my office, and they're like, listen, Mr. Frazier, we can't do anything with them. We can't do anything with them. And I was so into Jesus that while they were trying to figure out, you know, ways to handle this kid and put him in time out, and some schools were still practicing other types of discipline, you know, I had all of this oil on my shelf. And I was like, yeah, this one, okay, he's not too bad. A regular thing of olive oil can do for him. But this one here, he's going to need the one from the Middle East. Yeah, he's going to need the one from Jerusalem. Because, boy, whatever's going on with him. And I would pray for those kids. And I would lay hands on them. And I said, I'm really taking a risk here. God, what is going on with me? And faculty would come to me with problems in their lives. And I'd pray with my faculty. And I was in staff meeting. And I would preach to them in staff meeting. And I said, God, what are you doing? And God said, I'm trying to call you to preach if you'll listen and stop fighting it. I said, but God, if I answer your call to preach, that means I got to go back to school. He said, yeah, right. And so I gave in, and I went back, and I quit my job. I quit a good-paying job as an administrator because God told me to go to a seminary I couldn't afford. Anybody ever made a crazy faith move before? Amen. So I went to this seminary, and I went through it for 4 years along with Pastor Jeremy, his cohort for doctoral program. We got through, and I said, okay, fine. I'm through it. I'm going to plant this church. Life is going to be great. Life is going to be easy. And then people, my health started failing me. My legs seemed heavy. That storm that was inevitable hit me. And I went to the doctor, and I said, well, maybe I just need some rest. Maybe it's something real simple going on. He said, no, my friends, the blood flow is not getting to your feet. And we're going to try some procedures. We're going to try to get that blood flowing. Hallelujah. He said, but if we can't get that blood flowing, we're going to have to take your legs. And young doctors have no bedside manner. Give me an old doctor any day, because they'll at least have a relationship with you. Amen. And so I said, my goodness, what am I going to do? I said, I can't do that. I said, I've just planted this church. It's growing. It's in the southwest part of Dallas. Nobody wants to hear a preacher. He said, oh, we're going to get your prosthetics, and you're going to use a wheelchair, and you'll learn how to use a wheelchair, and we're going to build up your upper body strength. Don't worry about walking. You can pastor from a wheelchair. I said, who wants to listen to a pastor in a wheelchair? But listen, I don't want to get too Pentecostal here. But they told me I'd never walk. Did y'all see me walk from here over there and walk on this stage? See, I couldn't do this at my church because that'd be an extra 5 minutes because about three people would start running around the aisle, you know, yelling, won't he do it, won't he do it, won't he do it, you know. But seriously, they told me I wouldn't. They told me I wouldn't walk. But I'm walking, my friend, because God didn't remove the storm. He walked with me in the storm. Storms are inevitable. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're an entry-level person with a company. I don't care if you are the president, CEO, or senior VP. Get ready. A storm is a-coming. The second principle that I want you to see in this text is not only are storms inevitable, storms are incredible. Both houses, it said that the winds came and blew upon the house. And it wasn't a sprinkle. It wasn't a shower. It was incredible. And in fact, it took one house out. You know why? Because that house looked good on the outside. But it was a shabby house. You're going to meet people in life that look good on the outside. But the foundation is not there. And as soon as they get hit with something, they're going to fall apart. That storm showed that that house didn't have anything interior to hold it together, that house built on sand. Because you know what? Storms bring pressure. And when pressure comes into your life, pressure does not create. Pressure only reveals. Pressure will never create anything in your life. But God will allow sometimes pressure to reveal. One of the questions, to be fair to the text, that we have to ask is, what was the origination of the storm? And you've got to ask that, too, sometimes when you go through a storm, my friend. Some storms are caused by Satan, but don't give Satan so much credit. Sometimes he is trying to destroy you. Sometimes he is trying to set you back. Sometimes he is trying to push you away from Christ. Don't give him so much credit. Sometimes storms are caused by the Savior. In this text, God brought about the storm. Because he needed to expose what the houses were made of, but it's also, he also brought it about as a sign of judgment, because our lives are like houses. He wants to see who's been obeying, who believes, who hadn't believed, and who isn't sturdy. But pressure does not create. Pressure only reveals. If I was to take a fruit this morning and if I'd have known it was going to be all this good food in the back here, I'm still amazed at that. You know, I'm still thinking about, hey, Martha, bring me another. I would have had Pastor Charlie or either Stephen to bring me a great big orange. Because orange looks sturdy on the outside. It's got that rough peel. It looks like it can handle it. But when you cut that baby down the middle and you take half that orange and then you begin to squeeze it, the only thing that comes out is juice, pulp, seeds. Nothing else is going to come out, people, because that's all that's on the inside. But the only way you're going to get to it is you got to put a little pressure on it to bring it out. Because pressure doesn't create, pressure reveals. Storms are inevitable. Storms are incredible. Not only are storms caused by Satan, in this case, storms caused by the Savior, but if we're actually honest, storms can be caused by self. There's some mistakes that we make that it's our fault. And as we say, my favorite sport is football. And as the Cowboys have been saying a lot these past few years, my bad, my bad, my bad. I let that wide receiver go right past me. I didn't even try to bump him, which is why God really sent me here by way of Charlie to preach, but I'm going to meet with Earl Thomas after services today, and we're going to take him off of your hand. We'll take the headache as long as we can get somebody that can hit a receiver. Is that okay with you guys? Can we take Earl back to Texas with us? Okay, okay. So listen, but sometimes we cause a storm. Inevitable. Incredible. Here's the last thing. Storms are instructional. They'll teach you a lot. They'll teach you a lot. When you go through a storm, we learned in this case from the story that the house built on sand couldn't take it. Great was the fall of it. It didn't just leak. It fell totally apart. The one built on the rock, the life that had been obeying these teachings of what you get from a place like Church on the Ridge. This is your buildup for those things in life. Stood like a rock. Storms will teach you about yourself, but storms will teach you about God. And I close with this. Here's what I learned about God, that he's faithful. At first, when I got diagnosed, I asked God, why me? Why me? I'm a church planner. I want to save people for Jesus. God came back and answered, why not you? If you're going to preach a powerful message, why not go through a mess to have a message for this mess age? Oh, wow, that was kind of cute, wasn't it? Yeah, I like that. He just dropped that in my spirit, too. Okay? Okay. Why not be able to go through a mess in order to have a message for this message? Because I tell you what I don't like about some preachers right now, but I love about this one. Some preachers have no street credit. They preach this gospel about how God will be there for you, but they ain't been through a thing. You get close to this man. He's the real deal. He really is. And I'm the real deal because God took me through it. He said, I'm going to build a message. Here's the final thing that I learned about God. If I could think of a good way to close it, I want to do it like this. Never get caught up in life on information. Move toward inspiration and intimacy. Get to know God. At one point in my life, I was so proud of my academics and things that I had achieved in academia that God needed to cause a storm to get intimate with him. So I leave you with this. As I told the group last night, it's okay to know geology, the study of rocks. And you can know everything there is to know about geologies. But my friends, you better know the God who's the rock of ages. It's okay to know botany, the study of flowers, and horticulture of plants. But you better get to know intimately the lily of the valley. It's okay to know astronomy and everything there is about the skies and the stars. But you better get to know the bright and morning star. Achieve academic excellence. Send your kids to school. Send your grandkids to school. And remind your kids that they're not grown until they're gone and don't need a loan. That's when they're grown. Amen? But send them to school, but remind them of this. Get a master's degree, but a master A master's degree doesn't make the man, the master does. And then a little old lady that was my grandmother told me, and you guys have to excuse me because she was from Ennis, Texas, from the country. My grandmama told me growing up, son, I want you to get a PhD. I want you to be a doctor. But a PhD without G-O-D, you just a smart devil going to hell. Information is great. Intimacy is better. Lessons from a storm. Storms are inevitable. Storms are incredible. Storms are instructional. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these tips, lessons, nuggets about storms. And I publicly thank you for the storms that I've been through. I thank you for this wonderful story that's tucked away in your word to let us know that in life, storms are inevitable. Storms will be incredible, not just a sprinkle. But we can learn a lot. We can learn a lot about ourselves, and we can learn a lot about you. But thank you for walking with us in the storm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.